Hello, everybody. Welcome to UGA Sports Live. My name is Roddy DeBolse. I'm joined by Patrick Garvin, Dane Young, and Jake Roos. I am live at Classic City Eats on Baxter Street. We are reopened here with a brand new decor. As you can see, the jersey's up. They've actually built in hedges here. We have actual seats from the renovation of the Buttsmere Heritage Hall. So these are actual seats that Georgia players have sat in. There's memorabilia, photos, paintings, everything on the walls. It's a Georgia home away from home, if you will. The tables have been moved out. The social distancing here is huge. Packed place, again, with everyone social distancing. So there's still a lot of people here, but there's also a lot of room. Everyone's wearing masks. Everyone is, all the wait staff has been making sure that everyone comes in and is cleaned up. And I'm going to tell you one thing other about this place right off the bat. Each night, they come out with a fogging disinfectant. They disinfect the entire building, rafters to floor. Okay, it's Josh and Amy, they actually have a side business with this new fogging disinfecting equipment that's just amazing. So a lot of places are going to reopen, and they're going to have that, we're clean. And they cleaned up once, and then as things progress, standards will slide. Not at Classic City. This place is going to be lights out, cleaned from rafters to basements every day. So when you get a chance, swing by Classic City Eats. It's going to be one of the cleanest places you'll ever eat in your life. So check it out. We've got the IQ IPA, the basket of Hush Puppies Roos. I know you would like those. And, of course, favorite, the fried chicken.
This is some bullshit, man.
Hey, you got to eat all that for real.
Dude, I am. And so remember, when the chicken comes in, when you come in and sit down, they cook it then. They don't like have it sitting under a heat lamp. They cook it when you show up and order it. So, and just to really piss off everybody, because, you know, I hate you guys, Nana Pudding. So,
that's insane, brother.
Yeah. So I'm in seventh heaven. So y'all can all go to hell. Anyway, I appreciate you guys joining me. Hopefully we'll all be able to get back in here and we'll have Coach Donnan on. I keep getting questions. Where's Coach Donnan? Coach Donnan is doing a separate podcast with Dane Young. Check it out each Friday, Saturday. The great one this past week. I loved it. I'm talking about Vince Dooley springing the a schedule surprise on him. Marshall going D1. Stories about Richard Seaborn, his giant feet. And I thought a fantastic breakdown of what's wrong with Georgia's wide receivers. If there's anything wrong with them, you know, stuff that he taught that I just had no idea. And it's really humbling to do this as a job. You know, this is your profession, and realize you don't know crap when it comes to football, like Coach Donnan does. I mean, so when you get a chance, listen to that one. I do want to jump into Georgia football talk. We broke some news last week that Georgia has a plan in place for when their athletes come back. It is voted that they can return and use the weight room, they're going to come back in groups of six with no more than three groups using one apparatus. And they're going to have all these methodologies in place to keep everything clean, keep everything immaculate, keep all the players healthy. And remember, if they're allowed to come back, it's voluntary. The freshmen will not be allowed to come back yet, because they're not part of the team yet. They have to be part of the team to be allowed to come back. So because they weren't here beforehand, they can't do it. Now the mid-year enrollees can. So if you're a mid-year guy and you were here early, you can come back voluntarily. And we do the air quotes because, I mean, Jake, you and I both know that.
like those voluntary extra practices. You don't have to show up, but. It's one of those things where the coach is talking to the team and he goes, hey, it's voluntary, and then he pokes the senior and the guy goes, all right, so voluntary means mandatory. You gotta make sure everyone's here.
It's voluntary, but if you don't show up, you just won't play. Now the coaches won't say that, but I mean, I think Anthony Dash is doing this great series where he's you know, we've always done stories on the depth chart. But we basically, it's like, here, who we project as the starters, you know, offensive line, defensive line, outside linebacker. And then you list the two or three guys behind him. The series he's doing is, here's the starters. Now, here's the second string, third string guys like that. We're kind of diving a little bit deeper into the depth chart. And when you look at, like he did outside linebackers this morning, if Jermaine Johnson doesn't show up and work off his tail, Adam Anderson's right there. You know, Nolan Smith is right there. Azeez is going to be out there. Azeez could say, oh, I'm not going to worry about Azeez Ojulari, you know, who had such a great freshman campaign. Dane has broken down the grades on these guys. Dane could tell you that if Azeez sleeps, there's five other guys that are ready to come behind him. So, Jake, you do the recruiting. You know, where's Mikal Sherman isn't going to come here and sit on the bench. So if there's a chance that he can come in and do some workouts, they're going to. So even though it's not mandatory that the team shows up, if they open the weight room and they actually have coaches in there to make sure these guys are lifting correctly and not getting injured, it's almost mandatory because the depth chart makes it so. The depth chart makes it so that if you're not doing it, in other words, you may be working hard, but there's another guy working harder than you. Am I wrong?
No, not at all. And I've got a fun question that kind of popped up through all of this. Give me, I'm interested in all of you guys' opinion on this. Who are your first six volunteers to return?
Oh, that's a good question.
I think Nolan Smith's already there.
that's a good point because some guys never left.
That's true.
That was also in our little insider note at UGASports.com, something you won't find anywhere else. We actually put out there was a lot of guys who never left Athens. They, you know, they had apartments. They
what was that number roughly?
I wasn't told how many it was. It was just when speaking with one of our sources who spoke to somebody who spoke to somebody, he mentioned it that, you know, a lot of guys didn't leave. And so I asked someone else, they confirmed it. And if you go through the guy's Instagram photos and you go through their Instagram videos, them working out, it's like, is that guy working out at Clark Central? Is that guy working out at the intramural fields? You know, so you see some background.
Death Valley.
I know where that is. So, there are a lot of guys that didn't leave. So, but again, the weight room's been closed. And actually, the football players and the staff have those touch pads for doors to open. You know, we go to practice, we have to wait for somebody to let us in. They made that so that wouldn't work at all. So you couldn't get guys sneaking into the weight room or sneaking into the intramural, the indoor practice facility.
Who would even suggest that they do such a thing? I can't imagine them.
You remember DeAndre Swift last year? They did the video of him. He worked out at night. He was over there like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, doing extra reps and stuff. You know, so if they have access, they're going to use it. And when they're stuck at home, so they're like, "Hey, no." So, in other words, there's no lack of volunteers. And to answer your question about top six, I'm going to say Richard LeCount was probably the first guy to kick the door in to let him in. If they say, hey, you can come in, the minute that Zoom meeting is done, or actually Richard probably take off the headset, just take off and head to the gym. That's going to be first guy. Who else you got?
Jamie Newman. Man.
Yeah, Newman's got to be first to that.
He better be up there, right?
You know, Todd Monk is freaking out. He's like, it's not voluntary, but if you're not there, I might kill myself.
He's got offense to learn, you know?
I think him, Zamir White, you got to think he's itching to get back at it and get back in the weight room. And like you said, I like the idea that they're taking off headsets and getting right over there. I like to think they're just on their phone in the parking lot. Like, all right, cool,
y'all can come in.
Yeah.
Find out which group of six you're in and y'all can come in.
I think that this is a good opportunity, really, for some older guys to, you know, show some of that leadership. I know that they haven't had the spring to kind of establish themselves, but, you know, Kirby Smart's going to be looking for those guys to show up early on and be the representatives of this team and be in there first and getting their reps first. And, you know, I guarantee you that that's going to go into some sort of fall evaluation. There's no question in my mind that the first guy in the weight room is going to get a mark on his file that says, hey, you know, this guy showed a lot of leadership. He showed that he was here and really wanted this so badly. And I think, like I said, Newman's a big candidate. Stokes, I think, is a guy who I don't even know if he left Athens, but even if he did, he's only from Newton, so it's not too far down the road anyway. And overall, I think that I bet they'll get a good turnout for it.
I want to add one more before Dane jumps in. Justin Schaefer.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, Justin Schaefer is probably he's on the phone outside the door. He's in the parking lot with a boombox. Let me boom in.
Just say, Roddy, I bet you still play a boombox at your house, don't you?
Well, who doesn't?
That's what I asked, man.
I got Cool Moe Dee on my single.
Yeah, I was going to say, how else can he get all his run out of those tapes, you know?
Yeah. Hey, got my mixtape, you know? I still give them to my wife, you know? I made your new mixtape. I recorded off the radio. All right, wait, but that's only four guys. We got Zamir White, Jeremy Newman, Eric Stokes, Richard LeCount, Justin Schaefer. No, that's five. One more.
Can I add something? Bruce was talking about leadership. I think with this Georgia program, I think we can all agree that that was an issue in 18, and it was an issue last year, too. I think this year, first of all, it just, you know, in theory makes sense that there may be leaders finally, after a little stretch, after the leadership filled in team in 17, that they'll finally be. But, you know, under a Kirby Smart program, you think those would emerge. And I think this is a good season for that to be around for the first time in a few.
Yeah, and if I'm looking at another guy, a sixth guy to kind of round that out, I think that you want a guy who you're looking to be the heart of your defense. And in my opinion, that's got to be Monty Rice, a guy who you're expecting to lean on pretty heavily in the middle, kind of be the captain of that thing. You know, obviously Richard's going to be doing that, but Monty, a lot of experience under his belt as well, a lot of starts, a lot of games. A guy that I think be first through the door, beating down the door to get the opportunity to get back.
I'll throw in one more for you.
Who's that?
Malik Herring.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to think he's ready for this year. I think he's probably chomping at the bit. So. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I feel bad for whoever lines up against Malik on that first snap. You know, a Virginia guy who and that's not a shot against Virginia.
For real.
Yeah, nothing against any Virginia offensive tackle or tight end, but Malik is on a man possessed this year. I think y'all are going to see some fun stuff from him, and he's just dying to get out there. Again, no spring practice to actually get these guys roughed up a little bit, you know? It's like I remember years ago watching one of those documentaries on boxers, and one of the trainers was like, look, if my guy doesn't get hit in the face 30 times, you know, a day, then he's just not right. But again, you know, there's a certain amount of used to it. These guys, we see how antsy they get towards the end of fall camp, you know, when they've only been going up against the same guys, the same players, you know, for 4 weeks. And by the end of it, you're tired of going up against Andrew Thomas. You're tired of going up against Isaiah Wilson. And you're just chomping at the bit to hit somebody that's not the same jersey you are. And that first game comes out and you see guys sometimes jump off sides and get a little crazy. They do some stuff they're not supposed to, but just that excitement about actually playing someone else. These guys haven't even had the ability to work off steam against each other yet. So I think if they do get in there and they, especially if they add a couple weeks because they miss spring. So they add a couple weeks to the fall camp, you know, and have some sort of combination spring fall to get guys in shape for the season. They go 6 weeks up against the same guys. Malik Herring, you're right. He may kill somebody in that first snap.
Yeah.
So 6 weeks is going to be – I mean, that's going to be – you got to think like boot camp too. I mean, it is going to be a brutal, brutal 6 weeks in that weight room and in that indoor practice facility. You know they're going to be running those guys as hard as they've ever gone.
It's like old school, man. You know, back when you could do that.
Yeah.
Spring practice in January, you know.
Of those 6 weeks, we may get to see 10 minutes of practice.
Oh, I'm fully anticipating Kirby Smart's going to, out of safety for the players, discourage media. So.
Yeah. Well, because we're all filthy, and I'm sure we're all infected and just plague rats. I mean, we are plague rats. So there's no, I'm not surprised at all. Speaking of the overall season, I have Patrick, if you'd look into this, Vegas started releasing over-unders on total number of wins for the different teams out there. I think Alabama was at 10.5. I heard Georgia was 10.5, but you say they might be 10. So what?
Georgia was 10.
Georgia, so Vegas.
Yeah, regular season wins, and that's important, you know.
Yeah.
so Yeah, of the 12 games, over under 10.
I tell you what, I'll give each person their choice. You can pick 10, pick 10 and a half, and give me your over under and why. Who wants to lead off with that?
I'll take it. I mean, when you look at the schedule, I think you're looking at the game at Alabama is obviously difficult. And I'm kind of under the impression that I don't think Georgia would beat Alabama twice. And so there's a chance that if you're again in the SEC championship, maybe a loss in Tuscaloosa is not such a bad thing. I know people don't want to hear it that way. But how often do you go find a team that has the town of Alabama that gets beat by the same team twice in the same season? It's just a rare thing that happens. So I'm going to call that one a loss. And to me, the toughest little stretch is probably Florida is always up there. I get it. But there's something to me about playing Kentucky at at the end of a season with a shortened practice. I mean, Mark Stoops has had the Wildcats kind of overachieving for a couple of years now. So I'm not saying that that's a trap game, but I'm kind of saying that may be the trap game if you're trying to find one. I'll go with the over and say 11-1. I think Georgia is just a really talented team, and I think Jamie Newman is that good.
Wow.
All right, I'll go in here, and I'm also going to go with the over. I'll take 11-1. I think that makes sense, but I'm really not all that confident in it. Alabama is probably the slip up game. I think that's no question where everybody's looking when it comes to that. I think they're favored early on, 6.5, 7.5, something like that. I saw that early Auburn is going to be very interesting, certainly this year. But that stretch to finish the year off, like you said, Dane, is kind of tricky. I think once you go to Missouri, you feel good about your chances there. You got your bye week ahead of Florida, but then you go Florida at Columbia, Tennessee comes to town with a lot of revamps there, and then go to at Lexington, finish with Georgia Tech at home. I think that four game SEC stretch there to end the year has to be one that you got to be concerned about just slipping up, because that's an easy, easy group to slip up on. Plus you got, like I said, two or really three key away games with Jacksonville, Columbia and Kentucky. So a lot of travel, you got to think there's going to be a little bit of wear and tear on them at that point. I think that 11-1 makes sense to me, but I do have concerns about that stretch as well.
I got it. This is totally different from more so a betting perspective, okay? And I'll just say this is a guy picking Georgia games has gone 30-12-2 against the spread the last three seasons. But who's counting, really, right? So with a total of 10, and you got to go over, you got to go under, it's pretty easy. You see Georgia going 9-3 first or 11-1. Because at 10, you push. See what I'm saying? So if you got to take one of the I would say 11-1. I can see Georgia going 11-1 before 9-3. So you got to go over.
Give us 10.5.
What's that?
Because if 10's too easy, then give me 10.5.
That's a tough call then.
Well, then, Mr. Super Sports Better, give us 10.5 and give us the right money.
That's
you got a good point, because if Vegas is like, well, everyone's got this, you know, everyone's betting a certain way. You know, if it's too easy, what is Vegas going to do? They're going to make it tougher on you. So
you got to
give us 10.
You got to call Patrick's 900 number to get that info.
That's right, man.
Give me a minute. Banana pudding lock of the week.
Oh yeah. It's my boom Sherlock lock of the year, you know. By the way, those over under totals, Clemson at 11.5.
Over. Over.
You can either go perfect or
I saw something lose. The percentages on making the playoffs yesterday. I forget who released it. I think it was from ESPN. They were doing it off of the sports book, I believe. But Georgia had about a 25% shot of making the playoffs, according to the statistics they had. Clemson was like 80% plus. It was like basically you're a lock. Which I mean, I don't think anyone's going to argue with that or disagree with it. But it's just some telling times for the competition level in the ACC right now. I think there's Clemson and just everybody else.
That means you have that schedule and you have Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, you feel good about that.
Yeah.
Right now, my brother. What are you thinking here for the
over? You know, I'm always pessimistic. I get that Larry Munson bone. You know, I just I start thinking about all things that can go wrong. But I look at the fact you lost three offensive linemen to the NFL. You know, new quarterback, new offensive coordinator, talented guys gone, new guys missing spring. You know. All that. I feel a lot better if Jamie Newman had spent 15 practices throwing to Demetrius Robertson and George Pickens, you know, working out the timing with those guys. Feel a lot better if they had some depth at tight end. You know, I mean, they got bodies, but not a ton of experience there. In other words, just as I always do, I think of all things that can go wrong, you know. But then they did have the number one defense in the nation last year. And that secondary is going to be disgusting. Now, J.R. Reed is a huge part of that. Losing him is tough, but
everybody else is back, essentially.
I'm sorry?
Everybody else is back, essentially. Yeah, I mean, you know, exactly. More or less.
Well, and even losing him, I mean, Lewis seen from what we have seen from him, my God.
Yeah, Lewis showed out incredibly talented. I want to see what Rion Davis can do and Tresman Marshall, you know. N'Kobe Dean coming in, you know, this is supposed to be Channing Tindall's year, and N'Kobe Dean's like, no, I got this. I mean, it's the, you know, another Roquan Smith back there. I just like what Georgia's defense has. Can the offense get it done? I mean, losing DeAndre Swift, gigantic, but I think that Zamir White and James Cook will give you a nice 1-2 punch back there. Again, I'm not saying they're on the same level as DeAndre Swift, and that's rare. They're really talented. They're both 5 stars, but DeAndre Swift is special. But then I started looking at the other teams. The other teams lost a lot of players too, and they haven't had spring practice. And when I talked to the insiders, they're like, Georgia could play today. They've done enough in their Zoom meetings, and Kirby would never say this, but they've done enough on their installs and terminology. You know, when they go out and do their voluntary 7-on-7s, you know, when they do their pass skeletons, they work on the plays. They don't just line up and go hoot and just run. The quarterbacks, and they've done this for years, call out the plays, which, you know, determines the routes and stuff like that. They actually work plays and not just, okay, everybody run around like idiots and somebody hopefully catch the ball, you know, and the defensive guys are working their plays as well and their coverages.
My favorite route.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying it's the, I think that's the prep they do. Plus, I mean, recruiting is a lifeblood of football. Georgia's got the last three number one classes. If you have better players and coaches who can put you in a good position, you know, they can't take the snap for you, they can't run the ball for you, but if they can get you into the right call, your athletes should beat their athletes. Your technique should beat their technique. I look at Jamari Sawyer back there. You and I both know he's one of the sharpest offensive linemen we've ever seen, Jake, when he was coming up. You know, a guy hardly ever lost a rep. Ben Cleveland's got a lot to prove. Trey Hill at center. I mean, that was last year was his first year starting. He's going to come back stronger this year. And then, you know, but again, Bo Nix at Auburn. I mean, they were moving the ball pretty well until he had a throw behind a guy. But if he throws, maybe next year he makes that throw and puts Georgia in a worse spot, even with Georgia jumping out to lead like they did. So everyone's going to be improved, but I just think that the base that Georgia starts with is more sound than a lot of these other programs. Players, even though you had coaching changes, that defense didn't change a whole lot. I like Georgia going 11-1. I think that Alabama game would be their toughest challenge. But if they win that one, I could still see them screwing up somewhere down the line, just having a bad game, having a South Carolina game. Those games happen. Happens to just about every team once a year. The super elite teams fix that game and come out of it with a unscathed. But even the Clemsons of the world lose. You know, even the Ohio States, the Alabamas, very seldom does a team go 12-0. So 11-1 makes sense. At 10.5, that's tough because I can definitely see them losing Alabama and losing one other one. At 10.5, I'd probably take the under. At 10, I'm definitely taking the over.
One thing with Alabama, too, is there's just this, like, national kind of conversation and thought that it's Alabama, they're always going to retool, they're going to be there. And it's like, well, you realize when you're talking about continuity, Alabama's had as much turnover as almost any team that there is. I mean, yeah, they had a couple players come back that could have gone to the NFL, but that's a lot of faith in Nick Saban to kind of get that going. He lost another one of his right-hand guys in Scott Cochran. And to think that it's just going to be turnkey right back in the playoff or right back in the SEC championship game, maybe. I'm not sure. they're a really good team, no doubt, but there's a lot of faith being put in Alabama too.
Yeah, I mean,
I buy it. I buy that faith. you have to until proven otherwise, I think. I mean, the body of work suggests that they'll be fine. And the key guy is still there, and that's Nick Saban. And they've got a bunch of pieces. They feel good, obviously, about, Mac Jones heading into this season, given that Tagovailoa is headed to Maryland now. So, I think that you've got to be concerned, too, about that wide receiver core. And if for Georgia – the biggest concern you've got to have, I think you mentioned there's a lot of talent on the offensive line, but I don't think any group was more hamstrung by this lack of practice than the offensive line, because I think they needed the time to gel. You've got, like you said, Trey Hill, who's well established there. Jamari Sawyer, is he going to really, be that guy at left tackle? It certainly seems so, but I think he could have probably used the reps. That wasn't going to hurt his chances there. And then, does Ben Cleveland beat out one of these guys? Did Warren Erickson do enough, maybe in the Sugar Bowl, to show that he's kind of coming up there? Who's your right tackle? Is it Xavier Truss? I think that those guys, out of everybody on the team, needed the reps more than anything. And, that's if I'm looking for one group that was hurt the most by all this, that's where it is, and where I have the biggest questions going into the fall.
I think, good point, Jake. And also, DeAndre Swift took the lion's share of those carries last year. You want to see
lion's share. I see what you did there.
I didn't mean to, but yes, I meant to.
I'm confused. What's going on?
Switch was a line, man.
Yeah. Come on, keep up, Pat.
I know, man. I need to.
No, but he took the last year, and you want to see James Cook running between the tackles. Zamir White was, dying to get those carries this spring against that new offensive line. He needs to work out with it. And not to say that Georgia missed a whole lot of blocks last year. Dane and Red Rollins, where they break down those PFF grades, they show how well those offensive linemen graded out last year. It's pretty impressive. But any little crack, any little cutback lane, anything that could be exploited, DeAndre Swift did. So you'd like to see, to Jake's point, if you have Clay Webb up there and Warren Erickson, beside DeAndre Hill, and then maybe Tate, or Broderick Jones up there, as a right tackle, or Xavier, you definitely want your right tackle to get as many practices as possible, but you also want that the faith that DeAndre Swift had running behind Andrew Thomas and Solomon Kinley, knowing where their feet were going to be, knowing what was against each defense, what it's going to look like, that comfort level, that's tough. It's going to be but again, a lot of teams are going through that same problem.
To that point, though, the way to help the offensive line, because they were so – they had a really good season last year, is to get people out of the box. And how do you do that? It's with the downfield passing. So, to me, the greatest thing that can help the offensive line maybe gel quicker is a passing game that's going to be a threat vertically.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see that. And a quarterback who, if things go bad, can take off and run. So, hopefully we'll see that in Jamie Newman. I do want to give a big shout-out to our friends at Athens Ford. They sponsor this podcast. They also sponsor UGASports.com. They are having a fantastic sale out there for anybody that needs a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle. 84 months, 0% APR financing for qualified buyers on select 2019 Ford vehicles. So if you have some of the 2019s, like right now they have 37 2019 Ford F-150s. You can finance those at 0% APR for 84 months, 7 years. And you just can't beat that deal. From what I understand, they didn't furlough a lot of people. They're still selling a bunch of cars out there, and they've done a great job of trying to keep their staff in place and keep everybody busy and keep everybody working. So now is a great time to get one. Also, they have a lot of the market for used vehicles is glutted. If you need a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, swing out to our folks at Athens Ford. I guarantee you they're gonna make you one hell of a deal. And of course, anything you buy from them, you get as long as it's got under 80,000 miles on it, it will have a lifetime powertrain warranty. Doesn't matter if it's a Ford or whatever you get from them. If you buy a Mazda, doesn't matter. As long as it's got less than 80,000 miles on it, it will have a lifetime powertrain warranty on it. Now is a great time to go out there and get service done in an immaculately clean place, as touch-free as possible as they can make it, when you drop off your car. Or you can just call them up. They will come get your vehicle, take it, do the service, and drop it off for you. I mean, nice. Can't beat it. So, and of course, they still have the no payments for 120 days. So if you're like, hey, I've been furloughed, but I still need a vehicle, or I'm, our sales are down or whatever, you go ahead and get one. And when you're back on your feet, that your payments won't start till then. So check with our friends at Athens Ford. Give them a big give them a chance to earn your business. And I guarantee you will never go anywhere else again. Also, while we have a quick commercial break, I want to mention our friends at Academia Brewing Company. They are doing, I'm having their IQ IPA here. They, you can buy their beer in all the local package stores, a lot of grocery stores. They keep putting out new beers, and their restaurant is open. And now that, if you've never been out there, it is a huge area. I mean, it is a gigantic room. They spaced out those big tables, and that's the last place we ate before the whole shutdown. And they were wiping down every table, every service, every handle hourly. And so they're back to doing that because they had all that alcohol on hand. So they made tons of sanitizer. They made the place immaculate. But you go out there and they have these tables that are amazingly far apart from everybody else. It's perfectly clean. And their menus are out of this world. They're doing wonders to help people in the local community. They've been feeding kids. They've been feeding first responders. They've been feeding our hospital workers. They've been feeding people in the service industry, the essential people. They've been feeding them. And of course, they've been feeding everyone in the community. So big shout out to our friends at Academia Brewing Company. They are open for business. Go out there and have lunch. We'll probably have to have another staff meeting out there that Jake pays for. All the beer on Jake. So let's move on. Jake, do we have any questions that have come in?
Yeah, we've got quite a few today, actually. So some really interesting
I'm just going to eat this fried chicken while y'all talk.
Yeah, please go ahead and do that in front of all of us. This is a really interesting question because obviously a lot of the talk centering now around the return to school. You heard yesterday or over the weekend, I think it was, that South Carolina coming back 2 weeks early, skipping fall break and going to discontinue classes after Thanksgiving. Notre Dame taking that route. Looks like it's kind of the popular model right now. Be interesting to see if Georgia kind of ends up doing something similar. But we've had a lot of talk about, too, what are the stadiums going to look like? And so Kay Leland over on the board wants to know, he says, do you think that this Georgia team would be helped or hindered if it has to play some games in empty stadiums? And I'll even move it so far as to say with reduced crowds. I think that would be a huge advantage for Georgia if you could take the crowd out of Bryant-Denny Stadium. I think that would be not a bad equalizer to have on your side. But any downsides that you guys foresee there for Georgia, you know, kind of tripping up or any difference that could make for this team not having the momentum of the crowd behind them?
I don't think much. I mean, maybe, and, you know, Kirby's big on the crowd and the 12th man, but if you just kind of think about it, especially with a talented team like Georgia, I don't think there's much difference.
I mean, it's going to look like a scrimmage, you know, essentially, but you're going to be playing another team. And so I think that schools will be used to it. I think that, like I said, if I'm looking at it from just the Georgia perspective, it's going to be a helpful thing because you're going to have that Alabama game. And I think that could be the biggest advantage for you. That would help you also in Columbia, South Carolina, which is a pretty raucous environment when it gets going too. So reduced crowds, I think, helps the Bulldogs a lot. There's not a lot of home games that I'm looking at necessarily. Maybe that Auburn game that you would look at and say, okay, well, you know, maybe they do need the crowd momentum behind them, but I think more so it helps than hurts, certainly.
Can you imagine Jacksonville without a crowd? I mean, that's just gonna be spooky.
That is weird. Yeah,
change the nickname, I think.
Yeah, I want to bring up something that Dave mentioned. Dave McMahon, our great statistician here, he pointed out a good thing. It's like, let's say they come up with the idea that you can't have fans in the stadiums. What are all those fans going to do? You going to tell me all those people are going to stay home? How many of those people are going to go to their tailgate spots in bigger numbers than before, hang out outside the stadium, you know, watching it on TVs, cheering on the outside? I go back to when the NCAA said that Georgia couldn't play walk-up music in the baseball regionals, the super regionals. Mm-hmm. And the folks up at the greenhouse got out these giant-ass speakers and played every Georgia player's walk-up music You know, they're like, what are you going to do? You can't stop the sound coming through. Yeah. And I guarantee you, they could say, okay, now no stands, no fans in the stands. That bridge would be shoulder to shoulder. People watching from there. People on River Road screaming their heads off. People up on the you want to see the return of the railroad gang? You know, the railroad watchers, they'll be out there just so that when something happens, they can scream and the fan, the Georgia fans can hear it. I'm telling you, I know these Georgia fans. Dave mentioned it.
Some photos from out there, man. That'd be cool.
Oh, I'm just saying that it's going to be, they could say we're not going to have fans, but you're going to have fans. And it might make it even crazier because just the way they're going to line up. So
you'll get a couple dudes in like jetpacks just kind of hovering over the stadium.
I can see guys building trebuchets and catapults to launch themselves into the stadium.
Yeah, there's going to be dudes flying drones in with you know, with their face on the Zoom camera. Just like,
oh, there you go. That's maybe Zoom could come up with something where everybody could watch it and feel like they're, you know, we'll put up little iPads in the seats, you know, so you can feel like you're sitting in the stand and you like, see your face.
Robbie, I wanted to ask you though, I mean, what have you heard of that end? I know that we talked a lot about, I know that everything's been made about teams returning and all this. There's been a lot of, you know, back and forth about this. I mean, is there any indication of what direction anybody's headed in that way?
The last I heard was that the last conversation I had with somebody who was high ranking in an athletic association. Now, this wasn't at Georgia. This is a senior associate athletic director at another SEC school. And he said the same thing I mentioned last week. If it's not safe enough to have fans in the stands, how the hell is it safe for kids to be shoulder to shoulder in classrooms? And I didn't have an answer for him. You know, I'm like, well, they'll clean this. He's like, an outside stadium, you know. Yeah, you're in there tight. And think about like Neyland Stadium. That is, you are literally cheek to cheek in some of those seats up there. So it is tight. And it's very dangerous up there. And I mean, as I say dangerous, it's mind-numbingly scary when you get to the upper parts of Neyland Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're not able to have people in the stands, how is it safe enough to have people in class, you know?
What's his point? What's he saying though? Like, what answer he's saying is that he giving you?
It's all open or it's not open. That was his point. You know.
Well,
if the school's open and kids are in school, then you know, in some of these classes, you have 300 people in a small room. You know.
Yeah.
And you have people, you know, taking attendance, but if they're sitting side by side, 300 people. That again, if you have, remember the limits were. There's 50 people. First, there's 100 people. Then you did limit to 50. Then it was down to 10. Now, like 6. Now it's back. You can have groups up to 10. You know, UGA is doing 6 per player when they come back to the weight room. 6 guys in a group. You know, maximum 3 groups. I.e., still under 20. So when you have a 300 member class of English 101 or whatever, you know, some statistical class. Maybe you shouldn't have 100,000 fans in these stadiums, but they're like, look, if that's not safe, then I just don't see how we're going to have classes, you know? So how is one safe and the other not? And I get that, you know, you're expanding the size exponentially, but he's like, look, if it's not safe for that, it's not safe for us to have class.
Well, and if you're looking for like a crowded situation, there is not a place more crowded on this earth than an orbit bus leaving Tate Center, going somewhere else on campus. I mean, they pack people in there. So I'm sure there's some logistics going on just about how the basic transportation happens. Whether it's a game day or just a regular day of class, there's a lot of decisions being made right now.
Look at those buses that come in from the intramural fields when they park out there. Or even worse, when the game's over. And you have 93,000 people streaming out of that, 60,000 of them heading over towards the intramural fields where they parked, you know. And those buses, I've seen them, you know, guy on the outside shoving, you know, drunken butts up into the thing to close the doors, you know. I'm like, this is not going to be good. So, again, I don't know what they're going to do. I still think that, you know, they want to play no matter what, okay. That is the number one thing I'm hearing from all these coaches, athletic directors, scheduling people that I talk to inside the SEC, you know, I've talked to people at the SEC West, SEC East, and they're like, we have to play this season. You know, we've got to play it. There's too much rust on us. Plus, they just want to. I mean, there's like, look, you know, we think it's going to be safe enough. And again, it's May 19th. You know, things could look a whole lot different June 19th. Because they sure looked a hell of a lot different on April 19th and looked even crazier on March 19th. So, yeah. You know, we're projecting stuff way ahead of time. But granted, now's the time when you have to make those decisions. So you're seeing those scheduling things, Jake, that you mentioned, you know, with, hey, let's start classes 2 weeks earlier and in for the whole break, you know, not bring them back and forth. And we can do this other cleaning, you know, in between the breaks. So they are doing their planning now, but that's just what we're hearing.
What was that class start time? The early one.
Well, it said they were going to come back 2 weeks early. And so I think that they were shooting for like around August 10th was what I had seen, you know, kind of into the first week of August, give them some time to get everybody moved in and then begin classes. So I think the idea being move back 1st of August and then get everything rolling by the second week of August.
You know, what'd be interesting there is the, you know, you can have your preferred walk-ons show up for fall camp, which is usually a couple weeks prior to the students returning. But if they move the students returning up a bit, do they allow the non-preferred walk-ons, just the regular walk-ons, to show up early and go through it? You know, in other words, you have your whole team there, so you can run more of those two spots and three spots of Pascal.
My guess is if they can do that, they will do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Voluntary.
Right.
Hey, big shout out to our friend. Hey, hang on a second before you get that question. Give a shout out to our friends at YourPie. The reason I bring them up is because they have 70 plus locations, and they are. I've seen some of the stuff they're doing to make sure that everyone's healthy during this whole COVID-19 thing. The cleanings that they're doing out at their locations has been phenomenal. They have the pickup, you know, in a lot of places you can actually go and sit down and eat. But I do want to call everyone's attention to the fact that if you go there now, let's say you're like, oh, I don't want pizza today, I'll get it later. Go and buy one of their $25 gift cards. They're going to make it a $30 gift card. You only pay $25, you get extra $5. That's an additional 20%. Can't beat it. So when you get a chance, check out our friends at YourPie. They are a sponsor of this show. I mean, back when they only had one location, they were sponsoring this show. Now they have 70 locations. And Drew's keeps paying the bill I send him, so don't tell him that we're doing this, but he's still, they're still taking care of us. And again, this is a place that, you know, the founders of it are Georgia grads, just like our friends at Academia, just like our friends at Athens Ford. So they take care of the Georgia Bulldog Nation. I guarantee you that if anybody wants to be in that stadium yelling until he's hoarse, it is Drew French from YourPie. So he's a big Bulldog supporter. So when you get a chance and you want great pizza or great pasta or great ice cream, gelato, whatever you call it, they have it there. And right now, if you buy a $25 gift card, they'll make it a $30 gift card. So a very nice gift and a great way to sponsor a big supporter of the Bulldog Nation.
And their app is legit. Last week, we went there in Oconee County and ordered online. They brought it to the car. We took it to a park, ate outside. It was wonderful.
Yeah, oh, that app is fantastic. Now, I will bust on them. The first version of the app was not good. When they rebuilt the app, it's fantastic because you can just sit there and hit everything you want. And the payment thing is simple. And you show up. They said, what time do you want to pick it up? You let them know when you're going to be there. They walk out to the car. And it's exactly as if you're standing there. And the cool thing is you can get all those, you know, for a fat guy like me, it's like, I want this, and I want all these toppings, and you're not paying an extra $1.50 per topping. So your $4.99 pizzas all of a sudden is like $17. So
you got that figured out, don't you?
I'm just saying, if you want to know where the deals on food are, ask a fat guy. I'm going back to eating my chicken now. All right, Jake.
All right, Primetime Dog with a great question for us here. Talking about the secondary this year, obviously Eric Stokes going to have one of those DB spots locked down, those corner spots. But he wants to know, who do you see winning the battle between DJ Daniel and Tyson Campbell for starter this fall? Patrick, let me throw that to you first.
I tell you, I don't have a whole lot to back it up except gut, but I'm going to say Daniel is going to start. But you know how Kirby's defense works. If you start, that might not mean a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be Daniel, but who knows? at this point.
I'm thinking, Dave.
I'll go Tyson Campbell. In the series that we did before his injury, and I'm talking about the top returning Bulldog series based on PFF grades that Brent Rollins and I are UGASports.com. Before Campbell's injury, he had a great season going on last year. He had fixed some of the pass interference penalties from the year before. He's obviously just a tremendous runner and a great athlete. So I'm going to lean Campbell, but I think you're going to need them both if we're just being honest.
Roddy?
Well, so what does that do the guy that doesn't win the starting spot? Does he go and fight Devon Wilson and Tariq Stevenson in that star spot?
Yes. Dude,
Daniel can play. Daniel can play star, can he?
Sure, I think either one of them would be capable of doing that.
But remember, that star, whoever's doing that star has to do a lot of run support.
You know? Oh, yeah.
I think that's Tyreek Stevenson or Mark Webb.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. So I just remember how stunned we were when we found out that Georgia was without its starting two cornerbacks in that game, you know, and you're like, okay, well, one of them's down. Wait, where's the other one? And, you know, DJ Daniel had a tough, but DJ Daniel coming in that game versus the end of the season, that's a completely different guy. And we see why. I remember a lot of Georgia fans, when DJ Daniel first committed to South Carolina, they're like, well, he's skinny anyway, you know, you let him go to South Carolina. He's not what we want. And we got word from, on the inside of UGA, they're like, hell, we're not letting this guy go to South Carolina. And they fought like anybody to get DJ Daniel to come to UGA, just as hard as they fought to get Tyson Campbell out of Miami. So, and you see why. You see, he got used to, you could play a lot looser in JUCO, a lot more slapping, a lot more physical, and they don't throw the flag. They throw that flag here, you know, in the SEC. And so it took DJ a little while to get around to it, but by the end of the season, he was lights out. So, man, you just got two guys fighting. So, but I'm going to go Tyson Campbell simply because of that, the bigger body and what he was doing before he got hurt. But, man, one or two spots of being out of position. And remember how Kirby watches that secondary like a hawk. And if you're not in the right position, you don't transition the guy from your zone to somebody else's zone correctly. You give up inside leverage when he wants outside or something like that.
Oh.
Your ass is watching somebody else. So,
yeah, his strength, suddenly.
So I don't know. It's if there's any position battle right now, I feel it's almost 50-50. It'd be that one, you know. So that's a great question, but
yeah,
I'm just going to Tyson Campbell simply because he started as a true freshman, started last year until he got hurt. But DJ by the end of the season has said, "Look, you know, I have a strong claim on that spot, and good luck." You know?
Well, DJ got a lot better over the course of the year, and so I think that that was a huge advantage for him. I think that there were some moments there where, had Tyson Campbell been healthy, he would have probably gotten put back in, because I think they weren't happy with some of the decisions DJ Daniel made, just not getting his head around. And that was stuff that Tyson was doing his freshman year, too. So, I mean, it's not like he's been immune to this. I tend to lean toward Campbell for the aforementioned reasons. Bigger body. I think he's faster. And I'm going with our projection, you know, going back to the rankings. I think that this is a five-star kid, a guy who has a lot to prove, came in with huge expectations around and played with one of the nation's best, a kid who's probably going to be a top 15 pick next year, if not top 10, in Pat Surtain down there at American Heritage High School. So I think that he's a guy who is used to the big moments. He's had a lot going for him. If he gets hurt last year, do we even see DJ Daniel make the impact that he does? I don't know. I don't think so. So I think that Tyson Campbell, starting with same footing this year, going to be a hard guy to hold off of in that spot. But like you said, it's going to be it's tremendous for Georgia, because you're going to have a ton of experience at that cornerback spot this year to rotate in and out. Great if you run into any injury concerns or anything like that. But I tend to go Tyson on that one.
One thing with the secondary, too, though, is like, if Keely Ringo is truly good enough that he's going to find his way on the field, it just gets crowded really quick back there.
No, no question about it. I think that that's got to be a concern. I mean, and it's not like they went light at defensive back last year outside of him. I mean, you got Jalen Kimber in there as well. Deron Branch, they picked up at the last moment. Major Burns was a kid who flipped there at the last minute, you know, and ended up at Georgia. So they've got a ton of guys back there. And, you know, it's what's funny about it is every year it seems like we expect, you know, a couple of these guys are going to transfer. Maybe William Poole will start looking around. Maybe Chris Smith's going to look somewhere else. They're, nobody's going anywhere. I mean, they're all just sitting in there and fighting it out. And I think that that's a huge testament, not only to what George is doing, keeping these kids around, but also to the coaching that they feel like they're receiving from Charlton Warren.
Hey, Bruce, let me ask you a question real quick. Of those four signees in the defensive backfield, is there a guy, you know, what is it, Kimber, Burns, Ringo, Branch? Is there any more, or is it?
I think that was it, but let me double check.
I mean, do you see, you know, sometimes there's that guy that like, oh, yeah, he'll probably redshirt. Do you see someone in there, or do you could all four very well?
No, I don't think that you're going to see a scenario where you see I just don't see it for Branch, primarily because he's probably the safety out of the group, and I don't see him getting in there to overtake any of the depth that's ahead of him. I think he's got some good players there. Major Burns, people thought of him kind of as a bit of a developmental four-star guy, a guy who could be really good and long. I think it's going to be hard to keep Kimber and Keeley off the field, certainly. I mean, Keeley is obvious, but I think Kimber is going to be a hard kid to keep off the field. I don't see the red shirt coming for him there, and I think that he'll be I think he'll be involved. But I could see a red shirt for both Burns and Branch for sure.
Okay. Interesting.
Go ahead. I'll give a big shout out to our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors. They are the best of Gwinnett 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019 winners. They're also the Pinnacle Fan Favorite, the Humanitarian Award 2019 from the International Door Association, Rising Star Finalist in 2016, 2017. In other words, our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors are a huge up-and-comer in the industry, taking on the big boys. If you ever wanted an underdog story, you take a guy who is a graduate, one of the biggest supporters of the University of Georgia out there, and say, hey, he's like, I want to have the best customer service regardless of industry. And this guy could be, he could be selling cars, he could be building medical equipment, could be, you know, in construction, no matter what it is. And he just happened to wind up in garage doors. So I don't know why, but our friend Ryan Lucia, in other words, his goal wasn't to run Aaron Overhead Doors. His goal was to give you the best customer service possible. He says, when you come to our place, it wants to be like a Chick-fil-A and a Publix or whoever, you know, wherever you think of the best customer service, you know, that kind of white glove concierge type service. That's what he does. It just happens to be in a garage door company. So if you need a garage door, you want to replace your ugly ass garage door, check with our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors. They will take care of you. They don't have to come in. They can come check the door out. They don't. They can send you to your measurements. They'll send you an email. They can do it all over over the internet. And you can reach out to them. When you go onto the site, you can contact them for free. They'll come out and do your estimate for free. You know, so like, hey, we need you to come out. It's going to cost you $120 just to get them to walk onto your property. Don't worry about it. They will come out and do it for free. And you can schedule it. They actually have the scheduler. When you go to their site, you know, for all this residential commercial work, the repairs and installation, you can set up the appointment. So they give you access to their calendar. I don't know who else is doing that. Plus, if you're a Georgia fan, you get 10% off. So check with our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors. You can't beat it. And if you look at their ratings, you know, because I know anytime you deal with somebody, I was just in Orange Beach at my aunt's house and I needed someone to come out and fix an overhead light after I tried to fix it and made it worse. You look at the ratings. You know, you look at the rankings, and sure enough, you find somebody who other people enjoy, you know, other people like. Now, if they got three ratings, then you know it was that person, their mom, and their ex-wife. But when they have, like, 650 five-star ratings, you know, then you know that this is a legitimate company and that people love what they do. And the ratings at Aaron Overhead Doors are as close to five as you can statistically get, you know, with only one person giving them like 4.5. So 600 plus five-star ratings, you just can't beat them. So check with our friends at Aaron over at Doors if you want to replace your door or you need anything fixed.
All right. I'm going to rapid fire a couple here. Last time we tried to rapid fire, we
did
We did about two questions in 9 minutes, so not exactly the most rapid of rapid fire. But I do want to touch on a couple of these real quick. Nate Doggy Dog of 401 over on the board says, how likely is it that early signing day and national signing day get pushed back as a result of a possibly delayed season? I don't think that the season is going to be delayed, but I do think that you do have the possibility of seeing those pushed back. I think coaches are going to advocate for the pushing back of that early signing day, especially. You're going to want to get kids in to visit. You're going to want to get kids in to test and camp in front of you. So I think that that's something that they're going to be pushing for. And I'm be willing to bet they get it just this year. I think that they'll probably go back to the old model next year, assuming they possibly can. But I think for the sake of kids and coaches, the early signing day may not happen this year. OU Herschel Walker says, will there possibly be some summer camps where UGA coaches can get an eye on prospects for 2022 and beyond? Here in Texas, the governor is allowing summer camps to take place after 5:31. If UGA has none, will coaches possibly travel to satellite camps in other states? The answer to that is yes, they will go to satellite camps in other states. They will go wherever they can possibly be legally allowed to recruit. Now, what's going to be interesting, though, is to see how Georgia and really actually how all teams, if they get the clearance to go ahead with some camps and get some prospect camps going, is how they balance that out with the fall camp slash spring camp slash the elongated, all of this, you know, how do you keep all that running? Certainly you've got the manpower to do that. I don't think that anybody questions the ability between grad assistants and offensive analysts and such to manage both of those things simultaneously. But how comfortable really is Kirby Smart with the idea of these guys over here conditioning? Meanwhile, I've got kids over here that maybe I want to offer and I need to be able to evaluate. I think that that's going to be a very tricky situation for everybody involved. Let's see.
Dude, but we're letting you answer all the questions so we can go fast.
Yeah, no, I got an idea on that, though.
Okay.
So wouldn't that be to the larger major programs' advantage, though? I mean, for example, East Tennessee State doesn't have all these analysts to break down with all the – you see what I'm saying?
Sure, no question. Yeah, and I think –
no offense, East Tennessee State.
No, I think at that point
– wealthy people have an advantage. News at 11.
Yeah, I think you would see a situation like you have over the past few years, and it probably wouldn't surprise me if somebody like East Tennessee State was invited, where they invite in some of these, you know, Division II or Division I AA schools to come to Georgia's camps and have the ability to collaborate with those guys and, you know, kind of make a good faith gesture out of it. I don't think that you'll see a situation where those guys are necessarily holding their own big prospect camps, certainly. But I think Georgia's going to try to work it in if at all possible. But like I said, the balance, striking that balance between the practices and the camps is pretty tough, in my opinion. This is a good one from PopTab 4599. He says, opinions on what current players, including incoming, that you think could go top 10 in the next few NFL drafts if progression is assumed. Let's go. Everybody gets one.
I got mine.
Right on. For it.
Trayvon Walker.
Okay. Wow. All right. You're riding with the Trayvon Walker thing. He's got a – I mean, this is a big year, though, for him, right, in that regard, I would think. You want to see if he's able to deliver on all of that incredible athleticism. Had a great year last year, certainly, but I think this is a key year for him. Dane, who you got?
Damian Newman.
He's going with the sudden pick.
The heavy hit.
All right. I like it. Roddy?
See, when you think top 10 is, I mean, that's somebody who is not only elite at their position, they're elite above and beyond the best of a bunch of other positions as well. I mean, that's 12 different.
And it's also a position of need. You're not going to see running backs go in the top 10.
Yeah.
True.
Right. You know, so it's like this. And it's usually something to affect the passer, either a passer or a pass rusher or a pass protector, something like that, you know, pass catcher. So just going to the NFL. My first thought was Nolan Smith. You know, I'm like, I'm going to go with Tate Ratledge. Give me an offensive lineman. Give me a Broderick Jones, a Tate Ratledge, one of those guys who's just that elite caliber. You know, Jamie Sawyer could be up there, but I just see him as, you know, you just have to have that ridiculous frame like and talent like Andrew Thomas or Isaiah Wilson. Jamari may have it. But again, he could go 11th and it'd be phenomenal, you know. But top 10, give me a guy that looks to have everything like a Tate Ratledge or a Broderick Jones.
Well, if you're asking me who's got everything and has those things that set him apart, I'm going with Kelee Ringo. You're talking 6'3", 4'3", speed as an incoming high school senior. The measurables are off the charts. The kid has every single thing you look for. And, you know, given the way that the NFL is going, certainly affecting the passers huge, but with the way that the passing is going, you got to have those guys back there on the back end as well. And I think that having an elite corner is a huge part of it too. So Kelee Ringo is that special of a prospect, in my opinion, that, yeah, you could see a possible top 10 pick.
Was I supposed to pick a newcomer?
No, you could, yeah.
Huh?
You could have.
Oh, okay, but I didn't have to.
No, you did not have to. No, not at all.
Because all y'all did, right?
Okay. Yes, we did. Listen, I mean, George Pickens is going to be an intriguing, an intriguing option when he comes out. I mean, 6'4" or 6'5", you know, great height, hands like glue traps. I mean, the kid has got all the measurables you want. He can be a star receiver for a team, and I think that he's got a good shot as well.
I think there were 750 people screaming at it at the podcast, going, "You idiots, George Pickens." Yeah, sorry.
And I understand that, but I would also say that I don't know that he's going to meet some of the speed requirements for combine numbers for a top 10 pick one day. He might. And I could be completely wrong, and maybe the NFL will change its mind. But if you look at receivers that have gone top 10 or top 15, I mean, you're looking at 4'4", 4'3", kind of guys.
That's true.
Speed wins.
All right. Let's see. Last one here. Let me grab one. Georgia Bulldogs 8343 asking us here for another projection. He's only posted 5 times on the board, man. We need you to post a little bit more. He asks, who leads the defense with the most sacks this year? Who you got getting into the backfield and making guys hurt? Loaded rooms, a lot of guys up front looking tough. Who's getting back there and affecting the quarterback most? Dane, I'm going to start with you on this one.
The guy last year was Azeez Ojulari, and I think he'd be odds on favorite to do it again this year just because he'll have the most pass rush opportunities. This is kind of off the wall, but if Georgia can get a lot of third and longs, Adam Anderson is in that mix because he is a pass rush specialist. So I'm going to go with Ojulari, but if you made me pick a second one, I'd go with Adam Anderson.
Patrick.
I'm going to go with Adam Anderson.
Oh, wow. Roddy Chapman.
This is nothing against Ojulari, but I just think that teams know. I mean, remember last year he was a redshirt freshman, you know. So the tape was building on him, and he got better as the season progressed. This year you're going to see that running back on his side and tight end on his side, and teams try to counter him, which means that maybe the guy playing the opposite side of him is a little bit more free. You know, would not shock me to see Adam Anderson, who needs to make some noise, come in. And to Dane's point, and we've heard Kirby say this. Look, you know, he was getting on Adam in a practice one day. He's like, "You're the fastest offensive line. I mean, outside linebacker out here." We said that in front of the entire team, you know, or in front of the entire group. So there's no question as to who's the fastest guy is coming off the line. So I definitely could see those down and distances. I remember, number one defense in the nation, pretty strong, expect a lot of third downs, expect a lot of known passing situations. And they're just going to let Adam Anderson pin his ears back and come after him while teams try to stop Ojulari, because if you don't, he will get there. So just that's my pick on Adam, but I can definitely, I'm with Dane. Ojulari is special.
Patrick?
I think it's Aziz. Just the fact, like, as Dane said, he led in sacks, but also he had, I want to say it was about 40 quarterback hurries, which is top five, top 10 all time at Georgia for a single season. Odds are he's going to lead the team in sacks this year.
I'm going to go off the beaten path here for my pick, just because I can. And I'm going to say that Jermaine Johnson comes through, delivers on all the hype he had coming
wow.
in. It's a key year for him. He's got to do it. I think that Jermaine Johnson finally finds his stride and gets out there and wreaks havoc, because either he gets it done this year or that's it. I mean, we may not hear from Jermaine Johnson any longer. So,
no, I think that's a good call.
Guys in contract years.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm saying Adam Anderson. I think he's got to get it done this year. I think he needs to prove that that five-star rating wasn't a misnomer. So definitely see it. We ran a little bit late because we started a little bit late, but I want to give a big shout-out to all of our sponsors here. Classic City Eats on Baxter, where I'm having their fried chicken. Oh, yeah.
Save me a hush puppy.
That's your second plate.
Oh, dude, that hush puppy tray is gone. I ate the wax paper they brought it out on. I mean, it's gone. Big shout out to our friends at Classic City Eats on Baxter. They're open now. Come by. Remember, they fog this thing down at night with the fogging disinfectant. Place is absolutely immaculate, spotless, cleanest place you'll eat in town. Probably cleaner in your house. Check out Athens Ford, lifetime powertrain warranty. Check out our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors. Want some good places to eat? Swing by Your Pie or Academia Brewing Company. They take good care of us. And of course, if you're watching this on this YouTube show on 365 Game Day or 11 Live on their Facebook pages, if you would, just give them a thumbs up, like their page. I'd greatly appreciate it. And with that, we will see you folks next Tuesday at noon. And don't forget to check out the Donnan and Dane podcast coming later in the week. We'll talk to you then.